As the sun rises in the east, you're filled with awe at our Creator and of the many wonders He has made. What an opportunity we're given to explore the outdoors with others, building relationships with them that will last an eternity. Join us now as we explore the numerous ways to use time on the trail to adventure to bring others into a relationship with the one who spoke the creation into existence. Here now is Jerry Calouette, the host of God's Great Outdoors.
Well, all right, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, and we're here in Petersburg, Kentucky at the Creation Museum, and an opportunity a number of times for me to be here and do multiple interviews. This is the first time that we've done anything about the planetarium that they have here. I'm fascinated with some of the programs that they, let's say, put you through. You get to lay back and experience outer space. That's honestly, for me, the most I want to experience it. I'm not one of those that wants to someday get on a spaceship and travel through it. I'm glad when we finally come back and the lights come on and we can leave. But right now we're with Danny Faulkner. Danny, why don't you tell us what your job is here at the Creation Museum? And if you would, please explain why the Creation Museum would even have something that lets us see what's going on in outer space.
Well, I'm the astronomer here at Answers in Genesis, and we see the planetarium and the observatory. The planetarium lets you see star shows and other productions in at any time we want to. Weather permitting is not a problem. Cloudy, sunny days, we don't care. The observatory out back is a little bit different. We need clear skies for that. We have a fine collection of telescopes back there. We have two 16-inch telescopes, a 14-inch, an 11-inch, two 12s, 10 inches, a 10-inch, an 8-inch, a 6-inch, 3.5-inch, and a 5-inch telescope. And we do have public nights. We have stargazers, usually on weekends with the first quarter moon between April and October. And we also do groups as well. And when the museum is busy, we do sun spotting. It's a program. We use two different filters on two different telescopes to look at the sun, see some mighty amazing things there. On top of that, I also write here and do some speaking as well. So astronomy is a major component of creation. You know, whole day of creation, one of the days, day four, was dedicated entirely to that. We don't have a lot of that in our Creation Museum. It's more about the flood and biology and such, but we do have the astronomy offerings here.
In our pre-interview, we were talking a little bit about the whole idea of the Big Bang, and we as Christians, knowing that God spoke everything into existence and also says that God knows as and named all of those bodies that are in space, He knows them all just like He knows numbers of the hairs on our head. Share with us this whole idea of a Big Bang, something coming from nothing.
Well, for a half century, the dominant theory of where the universe came from is the Big Bang. It's this idea that the universe suddenly appeared. When I say universe, I'm talking about matter and energy, but also space and time. According to the Big Bang, and this is kind of a weird concept, before the Big Bang, there was no time, so before makes no sense, and there was no space, so nothing, truly nothing existed. And then suddenly it did exist. And it came into existence in a very hot, dense state, and it's been expanding and cooling ever since. After 13.8 billion years, it's been doing that. That's been the dominant cosmology for, again, half century, but of course, we as Bible-believing Christians don't accept that. There are a number of problems. The age is wrong, for one thing. It also suggests that stars were in existence or formed for 9 billion years before the Earth came along, before the Sun came along. And yet we know from Genesis 1 that the Earth was here from the very beginning, and stars actually are a little younger than the Earth is. Just a few days younger, but not much. But still, that seems to preclude the possibility of billions of years of stars forming. And then the other details you have to get down into the Big Bang kind of morphs then into ideas of planetary evolution, astronomical evolution, and then biological and geological evolution. It's all one whole cloth of a naturalistic explanation for how things came to be. And you find the order is way out. It's way out of line with what we find in Scripture. We find plants, for instance, on day three before the sun existed. We find flying things existing before land animals, flying things on like birds on day five, and land animals on day six. Those are some more striking examples. There are many others. So I'm thoroughly convinced that the Big Bang and other evolutionary ideas do not jibe with Scripture at all. On top of that, there are problems with it. The Big Bang has numerous problems. There's a light travel time problem. It's called the horizon problem in the Big Bang, and there's a flatness problem. Both those are supposedly solved by a thing called inflation that was dreamed up back in the 1980s, and yet there's no evidence that inflation ever happened. It's inflation's this idea that the universe came into existence, and then very quickly it went through a very rapid phase of expansion, supposedly solving several problems, Big Bang. And there have been many other problems that came along. You know, we would expect in a Big Bang universe to have equal amounts of matter and antimatter, but yet the universe is clearly dominated by matter. Where did all the antimatter go? Now, there's no good explanation for that. They've kind of ignored it for years, but it's still there. Magnetic monopoles ought to exist in the early universe. Where are they? Why don't we see those? And what you'll find is in the history of the Big Bang is whenever a problem comes up, they just come up with some sort of new variation on the theory to try to explain it. And that's a problem because, you know, a theory that can explain anything and everything explains nothing. And that, if you can't falsify, at least hypothetically, a theory, then it really is not a scientific theory at all.
Well, one of the things that I've heard, and this is Christians actually talk to me about, is, well, wait a minute, if God spoke it all to existence, how long it would have taken for the light and the heat that we need to get from the sun to the earth? The fact of the matter is, couldn't a God who speaks everything into existence have it already completely functioning so that we don't have a time gap, let's say, between the transmission of those sun rays that need to hit and make sure that we have a nice warm day?
Well, for the sun, it's not much of a problem. It's only 8 minutes away by light travel time, so that's not a problem. Now, the big problem is when you start talking about stars. The nearest star is over 4 light years away, or 4 years away by light travel to get here. Dark, clear night in the autumn, I can see the Andromeda Galaxy with the naked eye. Usually the most distant object you can see with the naked eye, and it's a little over 2 million light years away. Well, if the world's only 6,000 years old, how can I see that? How can I see more distant galaxies through a telescope and so forth? And we recognize this is a problem. We call this the light travel time problem. There are at least 5 or 6 different explanations. I have my own that I've published on our website here at Answers in Genesis. And give you a real quick rundown. It's something like what you suggested, that God made these things fully functioning, but he didn't just make it mature. I think he matured it. You know, if you read the Day 3 account talking about how plants were made, God said, let the earth bring forth these various plants. And the next verse says, and the earth brought forth. Two different verbs there, very different words, but they have overlapping meanings. And the implication is that the plants grew up out of the ground very rapidly. If you look at the Hebrew words, and even in English, it works this way pretty well. I think if you're back on day 3 and you're looking at the earth and looking at the plants, it would have been like a time-lapse movie. A normal growth that normally would take, say, decades for a tree, for instance, happened in a matter of minutes or hours at the most. And the reason for that is because God had to mature those plants. They provided food for both man and beast. They're going to be here on days 5 and 6, just a few days after those plants. So they couldn't be immature waiting to grow. We all would have starved to death. I think in a similar way, God used a process on day 3 where he rapidly matured that light. He brought it from those objects. So when I look at the Andromeda Galaxy, I believe the thing is really about 2 million light years away, but I don't think the light's been traveling nearly that long. I think it was brought here very miraculously, probably on day 4, certainly by the end of creation week, because I do believe to fulfill their functions, the stars must have been visible to Adam at the end of day 6, beginning of day 7, when it became dark for him the first time.
Talking about the plants, those cooked up with the meat that we wind up harvesting in God's creation, that smell so good, reminding me it's time for the recipe portion of the program, and my wife's going to share what today's recipe is. Folks, send in your recipes, how you prepare the wild fish, game, and plants that you harvest. Let us know who it is you're spending time in the outdoors with, the activity you like to do, and you'll get a copy of Steve Chapman's book, Outdoor Insights, and they're autographed, and we'll be right back after this.
Now, friends, if you are looking for some of the best wild game and fish recipes to savor the experience of your family's time afield or stream, we've got the cookbook for you. Steve Chapman, author of A Look at Life from a Deer Stand, and his wife Annie have teamed up to write The Hunter's Cookbook. This book is packed with over 200 recipes to turn wild meats and fish into mouth-watering meals. Also scattered amongst the pages are Steve's family's hunting and fishing stories to read while cooking and Steve Chapman's hand-sketched drawings to complement the stories and recipes too. The Hunter's Cookbook by Steve and Annie Chapman is on our website store at ggoutdoors.org or call us here at 937-698-3656 to order over the phone. And would you please like us on Facebook at God's Great Outdoors Radio? Remember Genesis 9:3, everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything.
We're back, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, and again we're at Petersburg, Kentucky at the Creation Museum with Danny Faulkner. And we're talking about stars and planets and the things that we see in the night sky and during the day because of the sun. Now, you were telling me in the pre-interview something about the moon and debunking the idea that we didn't really land on the moon because you're able to bounce lasers off of reflectors. And we're discovering that the moon is slowly, slowly getting further away. And we projected it the other direction to where if the Earth was as old as they claim it is, at one time we could have almost touched the moon like an 8-foot ceiling on our house. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, there's everyone's familiar with the tides, I believe. You have two high and two low tides most days. But there's some more subtle things going on. The tidal bulge raised on the Earth by the moon, and that bulge in turn on the moon interacts in a very complex way. It acts to slow the Earth's rotation. The day is getting slightly longer at a rate of 16 ten-thousandths of a second per century. Well, obviously, that's not much of an issue for us. But over the centuries, that starts to add up, and we can actually measure that based upon records of where historical eclipses took place in the past and where they ought to be have taken place based on our modern calculations. The other line of evidence is dealing with the moon's recession. As the Earth slows down, the moon speeds up, and it goes to a higher orbit, so it gets farther and farther away. And we knew that was happening. We didn't know the rate, really, until the Apollo program 45 years ago. Several of the missions, they left reflectors on the lunar surface, and periodically, large telescopes are used to shoot a laser beam from the telescope to the moon and back, and by the time delay, they can measure the moon's distance to a fraction of an inch. And what we found is that year by year, the moon moves about 4 centimeters away. That's not much. In my lifetime, it's gone my height a couple of times, probably. But over a few thousand years, not a problem. But as you go into the past, it gets more and more of a problem because right now it seems like a linear rate, but it really isn't. It's a very steep function of distance. It's an inverse 6 power of distance. And so when the moon was closer in the past, the tidal interaction was stronger, and so the moon would have moved away faster in the past. It's slowing down its rate of recession. And you can run the numbers, and you'll find that 1.3 billion years ago, the Earth and the moon would have been in contact with each other. And probably a billion years ago, you would have had tides a mile high. So here in the Cincinnati area, we would have had high and low tides twice a day, even though we're that far from the ocean. Nobody believes the tides are ever that great. No one believes that the moon was in contact with the Earth, at least not that recently. But that's a pretty stiff limit. 1.3 billion years, that doesn't mean the Earth and the moon are 6,000 years old, let's say. But it would seem to eliminate anything older than that. And the conventional wisdom, of course, is that the moon and the Earth are 4.5 billion years old. So if you got a choice between 6,000 years and 4.5 billion years, the lunar recession, the rate of tidal evolution of the Earth and the moon would seem to preclude the 4.5 billion years, and it would preclude anything that old. So I think it's a good indication that there's something amiss in the general age consensus we have for the Earth and the moon.
Well, certainly we can't just take what we're being told by scientists in the secular world. Need to start checking out information from Answers in Genesis, things that you are sharing, and other Christians who are scientists are sharing. Consequently, maybe do a little thinking at the same time, and we can start to have a lot more evidence to share with those people in our lives that need to hear the truth about a creator God who spoke everything into existence. We're going to take one more break, and we'll be back.
Since July 6, 1996, God's Great Outdoors Radio and Ministry has been on the air to help listeners win others to the Creator God, Jesus Christ. The program is made possible because of the financial help of our listeners, and for this help we are truly blessed. Additional underwriting support is by Matthews Archery and the new V3 compound bow, plus Mission Archery with a revolutionary technology and design that provides a maximum crossbow experience. Also, Three Rivers Archery, supplying what one needs to make their own bows and arrows, and Hunter Safety System, saving lives is what we do. Also, Phil Havens Technology, LLC, a website designer and maintenance service provider.
Enjoy your love of scuba diving along with lending a helping hand to those in need. The Worldwide Christian Scuba Divers Organization is a group of scuba divers focused on exploring the beauty of God's creation and reaching out to the community where we dive. Discover how you can use your God-given talents to help in rebuilding lives. Visit our website at scubamissions.com or call 610-996-9968. Join the Worldwide Christian Scuba Divers Organization, diving into an adventure with two missions on every trip.
Hi, it's Ken Ham here, inviting you to experience the thrills of our new life-size Noah's Ark at the Ark Encounter. We're in Williamstown, Kentucky, south of Cincinnati, and while you're in our area, make sure you also visit the Creation Museum. You and your family will discover more about the Book of Genesis and about our wonderful Creator and His love for us. To plan your trip to northern Kentucky to see these world-class attractions, go to our website of answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.
We're back, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, again with Denny Faulkner here at the Creation Museum, Petersburg, Kentucky, and would invite you, in all honesty, if you come to the Creation Museum and you have never been in the planetarium, you need to experience it. The program that I like the most is you're laying back and they take you through the universe to the edge of the universe. I believe it's expanding slightly. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, Danny, but it's just amazing how big it is. And then they bring you back to the planet Earth. Maybe you can bring all of us back as listeners to something in all that you have observed that would point to the fact that we have a creator God.
Well, the planetarium show you're talking about is the Created Cosmos, and I think it's the best planetarium show I've ever seen. I didn't write the script for that one, so I can say that, but it really is an excellent show. And again, if your listeners have not seen that show, they really need to come by here and take a look at it. But, you know, the universe is an amazing place. It's incredibly big. People have no idea how big it is. I used to do a little scale model with my students. We had a scale model, 5,000 miles is equal to 1 millimeter. 1 millimeter is a 25th of an inch, you know. Well, on this scale, the sun is the size of a basketball. The earth is the size of a BB. And it's 100 feet away from the sun. And then the other planets are, you know, different distances from the sun. But what's amazing is if that the sun is a basketball here in Cincinnati with the BB-sized Earth 100 feet away orbiting around, the next nearest star, Alpha Centauri, is a beach ball over by Hawaii. And that's the closest star. Most of the stars that you see in the sky at night are actually much farther away, and they would even fit on the Earth on this scale. And we're just getting started. You know, most of the stars you can see, the stars in Orion, they're hundreds of light years away. I mentioned earlier the Andromeda Galaxy is 2 million light years away. And that's our nearest neighbor, as far as galaxies are concerned. How many galaxies are there? Well, the estimate, minimum estimate today is in excess of 200 billion galaxies. And our own galaxy has a couple hundred billion stars. So if you wonder how many stars there are, rough estimate, just take 200 billion, multiply it by 200 billion, and that kind of gives you a minimum figure. I get kind of lost in that. Those numbers mean nothing to me, and I'm an astronomer. So the average person is probably hard to comprehend all of that. But as you mentioned before, God counts them all. He names them all. He made them. He can handle that. And the thing I marvel at, the beauty and the wonder of what we see in the world around us, in the world of astronomy, but as powerful and as large, as big as the universe is, the creator must be that much bigger. Because I think it takes a really big creator, much bigger than his creation, to make what he's made.
Amen. And he cares for each and every one of us. We all are made in the image and likeness of God. And he knows the numbers of hairs on our head. He's concerned with us every day. And we just praise the Lord for the fact that he loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sins so we can be with him for eternity and get to maybe see so many things that we don't even begin to be able to comprehend right now. We could spend an eternity just discovering the marvels of what God has done in our world and the entire universe. And appreciate your taking your time from the things that you have to do here at Answers in Genesis and sharing with all the listeners and letting us know how awesome our God is. And thanks so much for being here on God's Great Outdoors.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a delight.
Now, Danny Faulkner gives us quite a peek at the universe's size, relating the sun as a basketball and the earth as just a BB, can make it clear in our minds, don't you think? And then talking about the next star as being the distance between Cincinnati, Ohio, and Hawaii. We're talking 4,440 miles, quite a distance. And the vastness of the universe goes far beyond that. Clearly, Danny paints a picture that allows our minds to grasp how awesome God's creation is. Friends, if you're interested in doing outdoor ministry, I promise your efforts won't go in vain, and you will see lives changed for eternity. And there is no greater effort that we can put out when it comes to trophies of grace for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, than winning men, women, and children to the Lord. Now, friend, if you're listening right now, and you do not have that certainty, that relationship with Jesus Christ, if you died today, you don't know what would happen to you. And that is a concern. In fact, you've been thinking of all the loved ones that you have that have been sharing your need for Jesus Christ. And you're wishing there was someone that you could speak to right now. Talk to them and ask how to become a Christian. Maybe there's some questions or issues that you want to discuss. You know, there is someone waiting to talk to you. All you need to do is call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's the words, need him. Again, I say 1-888-NEED-HIM. And there is someone 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, that are waiting to speak to you and help you begin that first-time relationship with Jesus Christ. Please consider how you will feel after you have a peace that passes all understanding. And have that certainty if you died, you'd be able to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator God, and have Him welcome you in. Don't wait. Make that call today. 1-888-NEED-HIM. I promise you'll be so glad that you did.
Here's a one-that-got-away fishing story from God's Great Outdoors. Al Lindner and his brother Ron, co-founders of InFisherman, dispensing information to fishermen worldwide. Several years ago, Al was shooting a commercial for a well-known fishing line manufacturer. The TV spot would have Al leaning over a branch and pulling this big bass out of heavy cover, saying, "I can't believe a line this thin can be this strong." Al begins that it was a late autumn shoot, and they had brought in the full New York TV crew to shoot just a 30-second commercial. The bass boat was next to a dead tree they had selected for the scene. I leaned out of the boat, over the branch in ready to pull the fish out of the heavy cover with the line in hand. The director gave the crew word to begin filming. As the cameras rolled, the limb that Al was leaning on over the water broke, sending him plunging into the frigid water. As Al emerged, soaking wet, he had his bass in hand. And being the true professional that he is, he delivered his lines and then started laughing. At this point, the director asked the cameraman, "Did you get that?" To which he replied, "You bet." So the director, satisfied with the footage, yelled, "That's a take. Let's go home." That commercial was one of the funniest misadventures you will ever see, and it all just happened. This commercial was used for many years. It was that good. Anyone watching it was unaware that it was totally unrehearsed. It did go on and actually win a national award. Now, Al Lindner may have laughed at that situation that he found himself in that day, but one thing Al does not take as a joke is his position with God, and knowing that he has eternal life in Jesus Christ. You can be sure of your position, too. For a free booklet on the subject by Ron Lindner, called The End of the Line, call, write, or email us here at God's Great Outdoors.
Did you enjoy that story? Do you know that you can get that story and 63 others in the book Hunting Blunders and the One That Got Away? Something that you can use yourself as a devotional, or you can get copies to give to those that God has placed on your heart that you know need to have a personal relationship with the Creator in the creation they love to enjoy. You can order copies through our web store at ggoutdoors.org, or you can call us toll-free at 1-877-TALK-GGO. This book can make a difference in someone's life. Why don't you contact us and get a copy today?
We'd like to send you a Should Man Hunt? What Does the Bible Say bookmark. To get a free copy, go to the website to order at ggoutdoors.org.
We're thankful for today's guest and the fact that you joined us as well. We'd love to hear how God has spoken to you. Please write to us and mail it to 8193 Emmerich Road, West Milton, Ohio, 45383. I'm John Skillman, inviting you to always consider how to make wise use of your time in God's great outdoors.